Welcome back to the podcast. Today we got Benjamin McKnight. Welcome on, Ben, along with Ashton, Noah, Braden, and myself, Nick Ruzbicki. Ben, welcome. Welcome on.
Thank you. So
the topic today is really balancing faith life and your life that you live in this world. It's sometimes a complex topic. It was a topic that we got requested by others, and I think it's very valuable to our lives. And Braden brought up a good point when I mentioned it to him in a mentor group the other day, and we've actually been kind of dealing with this recently. Our lives are getting busy while we're doing this podcast, and we're trying to make sure this is still a priority in our lives. But of course, he's in wrestling season, baseball's starting up. You know, Ben, you got tennis starting up, practices, all that. You know, Noah and I got some things going on that shall not be named. It's something that we've been dealing with, and so I think it's a great topic to talk about right now because it's going on in our lives. It's balancing being busy, but also making sure God is at the top of everything and making a priority for the things that are important. So I know, Ben, you had some thoughts that you were thinking about, if you have anything to share that way.
Yeah. So, like, going off what you said, Nick, like, obviously we all got stuff going on. I mean, you guys are all juniors, and I'm a senior, so, like, that's, like, busiest time of high school, right?
Yeah.
We all play sports for the most part, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when we do this stuff, like, we might get lost in, like, you know, oh, I got a game, or oh, I got a practice, or oh, I got a test tomorrow. And sometimes we forget to do, like, we forget to, you know, pray, go to mass, you know, talk to God. So I think, you know, finding that balance of, hey, you know, I got to take a rest, and I got to stop for one moment and just pray and just take a moment and sit with God.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just, you know, reminding yourself, hey, I got to, you know, keep coming back to God, even in the chaos of everything that's happening.
1,000%. And while you do have all that stuff going on in your life, it doesn't need to be something so grand, like almost like this, that's taking an hour out of your day. It could just be a simple 5-minute prayer or just this little piece that you can give to God every day in your life.
Very true. Because, like, time is the most valuable thing, and it's really hard to manage, like, our busy schedules and everything, and just taking that, you know, 5 minutes or even 10 seconds to be like, God, I'm here for you. Like, I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, I give my day to you. I'm still, like, I'm a servant to you. You know, all the things, submit yourself, submit your life, stuff like that. It's taking that, setting that time aside, but I think it's important.
Going off of that, I feel like any moment of your day, you should at least be able to take some part of it and give thanks to God, pray to God, you know, just give up some of your time to be in relationship with God. And there's this guy we know, Ben, right? And he has this thing he says. He says, correct me if I'm wrong, but something like, if you can't pray at specific times, how can you pray at all times, or something like that? And as Christians, you know, we should be able to pray at all times because, you know, we're supposed to put God first. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that if you can't pray at all times?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So I heard this saying one time, and it was like, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, one of those things about, you know, getting distracted in everyday life instead of, you know, focusing on God.
For sure. And I think, especially because we've been asked about this, and, you know, it might seem like we do a good job because we do this, like, but we don't. We really don't, and we're all trying to figure it out, and we're just, you know, we're high schoolers just trying to do the best we can. But, you know, for anyone that's out there that's like, I feel like I'm too busy, or I don't know where to start or how to start incorporating in my life, it's what we're saying. It's taking that 5 minutes, and when you have that small bit of time, just being like, you know what, I'm going to give this time to God. Instead of scrolling on my phone on TikTok, I'm going to sit there in the presence of God for 5 minutes, you know? And I think that's sometimes hard to do in our lives. You know, usually, especially with our time, it's really easy to be, you know, I don't want to say lazy, but, like, kind of sit there and want to have self-time, you know what I mean? Like, time for yourself and all that. But we're called to do that. That's the thing is, like you said, I've been working on this because I'm reading Proverbs right now. It talks about wisdom and understanding. Like, they're the most valuable thing for you to have. And if you have it, like, the way Solomon talks about it is, if you have wisdom and understanding from God, then all things in your life will be extremely easy. You know what I mean? And what I understood through that, through prayer and research and some other things about Solomon, is what he's really saying, and wisdom and understanding comes from prayer with God. If you sit there and pray to God all the time, and if you're asking him for his advice or listening to him throughout your day, and every thought is through him, you're going to have his wisdom and understanding. Your life is going to be guided. Your life is going to be easier because you're going to be doing what he wants you to do on that straight path that he set for you. And so, like, I'm working that on that in my life. And for all the people out there, it's like, work, start, just start, because it might start small. You know what I mean? It might start when you wake up and taking a shower in the morning, be like, just saying like our Father or something like that. But the way planting the seed will let it grow and turn into a beautiful tree. You know, it could be something that branches
off. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that, like, you turn towards God instead of just turning towards, like, say, scrolling on social media?
Yeah. So I think the first step is, like, self-denial. Like, the Bible talks about it a lot, is saying, okay, like, I know I can do this and go on TikTok and it'd be fine. But there's something better out there. For me, it came with understanding that God, like, again, I've been on this tangent recently, and I think it's been a really good one. Of like, when I'm praying, like when we prayed before this, we're talking to the creator of our universe. Like, that is not something, that should be something that's so cool to everyone. You know what I mean? That's something that's special. So for me, it took changing the perspective of, like, when I go to pray to him, that's the best time. I'm talking to the creator of the universe that loves me and died for me. Like, this is something significant. So I think that's the first step, is realizing why he died on the cross. It's for that relationship, for so you could pray to him and that he could help you. And then from there, just spending a little bit of time with him each day, and then and inviting him in those moments. So it's really falling in love with him, which is, it's harder than everyone thinks. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. And I don't even think I'm there yet. You know what I mean? I like to think, but if I was truly there, then all moments in my day would be like that. You know what I mean?
I also feel like something that helps with that is limiting the distractions in your life. If you think about it, like, let's say you're trying to study for an exam, but you're at a concert, it's going to be really hard to study because there's all these, like, things going around. I know it sounds, like, funny and stuff, but that's, like, that's just how I think of it. You know, it's harder to study.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like, the way I apply it to me is I usually pray the most at night, but the problem is, you know, one, you're tired, and two, for me, there was a time when I would, like, pray in my bed, and it was really great up until I would start, like, dozing off.
Yep, I do that too.
So now I have to, like, if I do pray at night, you know, I'll go beside my bed or something like that, and I know you do the same, and that helps a lot.
Going into that, another thing that transformed my prayer life, because I think that's kind of, that goes along with this topic of, you know, living a faithful life in our busy life, is, like, before bed, no matter what time I get home, I make at least 20 minutes where I go. Fortunately enough, I have a room in my house that I can that's separate from everyone. And I just go in there, close the door, have this lamp that I put on the Bible, and I just read. And I read, and I take in every single verse and pray. And it's, I call it my quiet place, my little quiet room, because I can block everything out. You know what I mean? There's no distractions in there. The same way with when you're sunning, you got to set up an environment that no one can distract you. And I think that's very important. It's like, I used to do the same thing, try and pray my bread, and you'd be like dozing off, falling asleep. But, like, then it evolved, because then I started praying bedside, and then I evolved now to my whole, like, different choir room. So,
yeah, going off what you did, you sent me that the other day, and then I started copying you.
Yeah.
And then I started my own journal where, like I told you guys earlier today, where I copy my thoughts from the day and my prayers that I did. I have a question about that. So when you were at Florida, wasn't there something like you didn't have any service for something? Or
no, I didn't have any service. So I spent most of my time reading scripture.
And that's like limiting a distraction, you know?
Yeah.
And you didn't intend for that to happen, but it did. And you took advantage of that.
Yeah, I think I spent one day just reading for 2 hours.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, what you guys have been saying with like distraction and social media, like when you guys are scrolling on like TikTok and Instagram, do you guys ever see those things where it's like stop 1 minute for Jesus like that?
Oh, that's my page.
So I get those all the time. And like, I'm not saying I stop every time, you know, like,
yeah, I know,
like,
what you mean.
Yeah. Obviously I'm going to scroll through it sometimes, but it's just like something like that, you know, maybe when you see that every once in a while, you just stop and like to say a quick prayer to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Oh, for sure. It's in the times that like, this is the other thing that I think we're all beginning to do a better job of, is in our busy lives, in the chaos of inviting God into it. It's like, even, you know, we always talk about this, and this is just because we're in high school, but relationships, you know what I mean? Like, we can get caught up in that, and that can be, like, something that overtakes our lives, right? But giving up that relationship to God, being like, God, I don't know what is supposed to happen here, but I'm going to give it up to you, and letting him help you, letting him work through you, you know what I mean, is something very powerful. And you know, like this morning in our small group, talking about how can you start to, okay, great, it's good that you pray, but how can you start to do it more and more and more? How can you start to live your life that way? The way the disciples did, you know what I mean? Where they're sitting there in their prison cells and that's all they have and they're holding on to, and it's the greatest thing for them. And again, it's not easy. That's the biggest thing I want to stress. It's not easy, but it comes through Jesus and comes through love. I think that's the biggest discovery I've had. I want to ask you again. So in that time, no service, you know, in Florida and whatever, you had like that was the only thing you can focus on. How was it coming back?
It was a lot. When I came back, I, like, immediately went back to, like, old habits, going on social media. Because when I came, I didn't technically come back when I got it back, like, social media back, because I went down to Clearwater.
Yeah.
So when I got to Clearwater, it was just a snap back into reality.
Yeah.
Like, this is how life is. You have social media and all these distractions going around. And I didn't read the whole entire time when I was in Clearwater because I was so on everything else. Yeah. Like, I want to do this, instead of going towards God.
I feel like that's actually a good analogy of, like, sin. Exactly. I'm not saying that scrolling on TikTok is a sin, but in the same way that, like, it might distract you, sin distracts you from God, and that's why you have to limit that, you know, in order to ground communion with Him.
Sure. Very true. And what I really like from that is, like, the same way in our lives, like, we're about to go on Kairos. He's about to be our leader. I'm so excited. But it's going to be a retreat. We're going to get away from social media, no phones, no time, anything. And it's going to be all focused on God. But it's like thinking about that is like when you come back is continuing that. That's hard to do. You know what I mean? Because we have this time that's think about how many people that come back on fire after Kairos or whatever retreat. You maybe might have a friend that came back from retreat and they're just on fire for the Lord. And you see that fire. But I don't want to bash anyone, but so quickly it burns out. And the thing is carrying that out in our lives is very hard to do, but it comes through that genuine love. Because the reason it's easy to feel it on the retreat when everyone's loving and the atmosphere, you can literally feel it in the atmosphere.
But then you come back.
And when you come back and it's distracted and sin's around you and temptation and all these other things, being able to love then, that's when your faith is tested. And that's when you can live, you know, your faith life in the world. And so when we have this topic about balancing, you know, our faith lives and our real life, or not our real life, but our life, it's really that is how can you incorporate it in a way that betters your life? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, go ahead.
So, like, the way you're talking about, like, how at, like, a retreat, everyone's praising the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a group thing.
Yeah.
But, like, when you go back to the real world, you talked about how you're more on your own in that kind of sense. So it's like finding, like, sometimes people feel like they need to be like, I don't know, like part of everyone else. Like they're afraid of like being like judged, I guess.
Yeah.
By doing their own thing, like kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know, just finding that strength of being like, hey, you know, people might not be doing this, but I, you know, still believe in God and I still have my faith, and I'm not gonna let people like, you know, change that or be influenced by people.
For sure. What I really got from that is, like, another thing is when you come back and you're on by yourself and you're alone, isn't that what it is when we die? When we die, we're going to be met with the judge, right? It's going to be us and God. It's not going to be everyone else that you went to this retreat with. It's going to be you and God. You have to make sure that your relationship is right at that point. You know what I mean? And how do you do that? Is by incorporating your faith into your life. And in just the same way for our sports. It takes sacrifice. It takes putting time aside. We have to put time aside to do this. It's his friend's birthday. Now, granted, he's going to go see his friend after, but he's setting time aside to do this because it's something important to him. Because, you know, like I talked to Noah about this, and I've said this a few times. Everyone says God first, family, then whatever, right? How many people live that out? How many people do they put God above their family? How many people put God above their sport or academics or whatever. You know, it's actually living that out. And again, it's hard to do.
Back to your point about like judgment day and stuff, like with God, you know, it's him and you, right? And it's a sad thought to think about, like, how silly you'd feel when you think about all the time that you could have devoted to God.
Yeah.
And then when you're away from all those people and stuff, and it's you and him, and you're going to be like, why did I not prioritize this?
What I was going to say is, like, you know when you study for, like, or you didn't study for a test?
Yep.
And then you take it and you fail it? That's kind of, like, what I would take.
And you're like, why 100%. Didn't I study for this?
Yeah, you're just sitting there, you're like, oh,
yeah. It's just a... Yeah, you're sitting there questioning, like, why didn't I, I'm such an idiot, why didn't I set that time aside, you know what I mean? Why didn't I make that sacrifice? Why did I go play with basketball with Noah instead of studying, you know what I mean? Something like that.
With that analogy, it's like, you know, not studying, you know, that gives you, like, that frees up, like, 3 hours of your night, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, failing the test, that affects you for a lot longer period of time, right? Same thing with, like, God in heaven. Like, on earth, like, you know, we like might not focus on God, and that's like a couple, couple years, however long we're alive. But then eternity after, you know, it affects us much more. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the verse. Okay. So we got some scripture here. Actually, this one we've used in a past podcast, but it applies to this one as well. It's Romans 12:2. Brandon, you want to read it?
Yeah, sure. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Again, in that verse, it doesn't separate the two. It says, don't give into this world. Don't, you know, do it all on your own. It's include God in your life. Include God in what you're doing, and he will make his good, pleasing, and perfect will happen. You know what I mean? And that's really powerful in this topic, because, like, it was cool when it was one of our friends, Hadley Reynolds, that reached out to us and was like, she was like, hey, could you guys do an episode on this? Because, like, this is something that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, including myself. And I was like, of course, like, that'd be awesome. I think it's a great topic. The same thing with us. This was going on in our lives, you know. Believe it or not, we kind of had like a, I don't want to say a heated thing, but like we had a disagreement. I was not the happiest. Like a few
weeks. He walked out the classroom.
Yeah, I walked out of the classroom. Oh, I can't lie to you. But it was before break, and they came to me and they told me that they wanted to take, that we needed to change some stuff up with podcasts because they were getting busy. And at first I was very like, are you kidding me? Like I told them the same thing. We say we put God first in our life. Like we need to do that. You know what I mean? But, but here we are, you know what I mean? And we made it work because, yeah, we changed things up, but we made it work because we found the balance because we knew that Brayden's got to wrestle. Brayden's got to go to his tournaments, but also Brayden has to be on the podcast because Brayden is crucial to this. You know what I mean? It's crucial to his faith and crucial to our conversations. The same thing with Ashton. Ashton works a lot. He's a very popular guy. He's got a lot of like, things going on in his life. A lot of people are pulling on Ashton. You know what I mean? Wanting him there.
Star.
Yeah, exactly. CYO star. All this different stuff. But then Ashton has to be on the podcast. He impacts people. His story impacts people. What he has to say impacts people. And so we came together and we had to figure it out. And it's not always easy. You know what I mean? And it took some frustration. It took me being sitting in the corner being like, are you...
Your face became a tomato.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I was so angry. But... Again, here we are, you know what I mean? In the week, you know, a week and a half ago or however long it was, we had Gianna Cozier on, and like it was this beautiful moment. It's like there's something always better on the other side when you still make God a priority.
And just like with Nick, like how he was upset, you know, you might feel overwhelmed with trying to balance this, but in the end, it's worth it because, you know, the podcast is still doing this, you know, still great,
yeah.
And we still get to participate in our sports and extracurriculars and stuff like that.
It also gives us time to like talk about our faith, and also it's something we can look forward to.
Yeah.
I know everyone, you're a guest, but I'm sure you were looking forward to it. Like this week, it's in the middle
mm-hmm.
when we recorded this, but it was something for me to look forward to get me, push me through the week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys are going, but there's mass tomorrow mm-hmm. with Mr. Tawny.
I feel like at this point I have to go. We're talking about balancing.
Yeah.
Phase and stuff.
6:30.
Wake up at.
Send me the address. I'm like,
you look fun. I'll help get here. I got lost. But going back to it, like, what was I at?
You talked about how you were, this was getting you through the week.
Oh, yeah. Like, we were talking about, we had the small group this morning, yep. and then we had the podcast, and then tomorrow morning we have the mass. And it just puts us on fire. And it, you guys are going on retreat.
Yeah.
So, or Kairos. So that's, imagine the fire when you guys come back.
We're going to be glowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
absolutely dazzling.
Well, thanks to Ben.
And that's the other crazy part is like what Ashton said. I won't lie to you. You know what I mean? Sometimes it becomes overwhelming. Small group in this morning, I got wake up early, man. Like that's kind
of. He was late, by the way, guys.
I was late. I had to pick him up.
Not, you were late to that, too.
Yes, I was. But. Yeah, small group this morning, you know, podcast at 7 tonight, which is awesome. Look forward to that. And then mass at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow, like, prep for wake up at 5. Those are all great things, you know what I mean? It's like, it's worth doing because you know why it's worth doing? It's because when we're in this room, when we're having this conversation, time disappears. Everything disappears. We're not thinking about anything in the world. We're thinking about God. We're thinking about the love that he brings us, the relationship that we're called to with him, and the absolute beauty in his presence. And that's the thing is like, it's really hard to describe to someone until they truly feel it. But think about a retreat. Think about any moment that you like might look at a coincidence or a time that you felt love that you feel like wasn't a coincidence and it might have been God. Feeling that presence is addicting, becoming addicted to God. Gianna Cozier talked about that. And it's really exciting. So, Ben, I want to ask you a question. Talking about retreats, we know you're Marianist life leader at our school. We've went to a lot of life nights, or, well, we've been lacking a little bit.
We'll go to the next
one. We're going to the next one, promise. And, yeah, we'll bounce it. So I wanted to ask you about that retreat and how that was for you. And when you came back, especially, like, what it taught you and how you're still carrying that out because you're leading the life nights.
Yeah. So, as most retreats go, obviously I didn't have my phone and it was like a week. So I was kind of nervous because Kairos is only like 3 or 4 days, but yeah. This was like a week. Yeah. So I was a bit nervous, but, you know, and yeah, the Marianist Life Retreat worked how they brought like different kids from each school from across the country. So like, I knew 4 kids.
Where was this?
It was in Dayton. Oh, so really? It was like, oh, we drove down 3 hours and, there was like 5 of us from Savvy, something like that. Yeah. And, there was like probably like 40 kids there. So there were like 35 kids I didn't know. So throughout the course of the week, we basically just did like kind of the stuff you would do on a retreat, kind of like a normal retreat. But the cool part about it was is that we got to meet people that we've never talked to before. And I think for me in particular, like that retreat was so special is because of how like the relationships I built through Christ, right? Like, in your everyday life, you make friends like through sports, right? Sometimes like you probably made friends through wrestling and golf and you know, other stuff like that. But like this was like a special friendships that I've made because it was because of God that brought us together that made these so special. So I think that was, you know, that was the big thing from that retreat.
Do you remember when we went to McDonald's right after you got back?
Yeah.
How much like you and Mike were like just so happy talking about it?
Yeah. Yeah, so we went to McDonald's, like, what was it, the day after? A couple days after?
Day after.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back so bad. And I would have thought I would have said that, but, yeah, it was just awesome.
I was so jealous. I was like, I wish I went to it.
And you're just like you might as well. And like Nick said, like, you're on, like, fire for the Lord, and that's what it really is. So
some may say you were glowing.
Yeah. And that fire... keeps going.
Dazzling. If that fire brought it on to me, then I want to go.
Exactly.
Ignited other people.
And that's the other thing I want to say is other thing about balancing our faith life and, you know, our life is it can be done with others. Like, yeah, it should be a super, like, prayer life, doing all these things on your own. Very, very important. That's what keeps you going. But the cool moments come through community, you know what I mean? And it keeping people around you that you can talk about with it makes it really easy to balance it. Because same way with Ashton, like, I'm always like, hey, sending him Bible verses. I'm always texting him about stuff, you know, stuff like that.
So you could almost think of it as like this. So you have a string. You say that that's God, that's your faith. Then you could tie all these other strings and interwove them together all into your faith. So you just take everything, you could interwove it into your faith, and it's all one. You don't want it to be the separate, your life and then your faith life. You want it to all be
one. You can connect them.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Oh, going back to you sending me, like, pictures of you reading, and, like, you would send me voice memos. I would just read the transcript because I was driving. But I was reading, or I was listening to one of the things you were saying, and, like, it, like, hit me that, like, I'm not spending enough time with God. You're sending me this, and that week I hadn't prayed, I hadn't read, and then after that, that's when I actually started journaling more, because that's what I was doing in Florida, and it just led me to get, like, more push towards God. And then this week,
you can go.
Oh, no, you can continue. Okay. This week, like, this week has been really good for, like, my faith. I've grown a lot because, like, Monday was, like, had to go back to school, prayed about it. Great day.
Yeah.
And then going up to today, it was really good.
Yep.
So I was just, like, what you were saying, and you talked about, like, how Nick was sending you all these things, right? It's not that you were, like, I'm jealous of Nick, you know, look how faithful he is, blah, 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 blah. Instead, it was a more, like, oh, I want to be like that, you know, and it pushed you into something great. It was like a more like a step back. Like, he is, his faith, Nick's faith, pushes my faith to make me want to strive to be a lot better with my faith. Same with you and Mike. Like, the way you two talk in Marinus Life, like, it pushed me to, like, want to read more, want to learn more about God.
All right. So I remember what I was going to say. So going back to what Nick said about community. So as Christians, obviously, we believe in Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. In the Bible, you know, it says that he was always with, you know, the 12 apostles, right? Yeah. So, like, even Jesus, you know, he set the, like, the pathway for us by showing that he had friends that he built up his faith with.
You know, I actually wanted to bring that up last episode because it was with Gianna, it was of the community. And one of the things I was thinking about is, like you said, you know, he had the 12 apostles. And Jesus could have gone through, you know, his mission by himself or something like that. And maybe he didn't even have to perform miracles and do these things with these great people. But instead, you know, he had his followers, his friends, his, I guess you could even call them family, right?
Yeah.
And they came together and they created the church, which is still around 2,000 years later.
Right. But was it easy?
No, oh, most of them were killed.
Exactly. You know?
And it's funny because, like, most of them, actually all of them, it's not like they were making money from this. It was the exact opposite. You know, life was hard. But at the end, you know, when they die and they face God's judgment, you know, hopefully it paid out, or, you know, it worked out for them and they were rewarded.
And the other thing is, like, each different, like, we were trying to talk about this, each person, each disciple, each apostle had something different. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Doubting Thomas, you had, who was the one that kissed Jesus?
Judas,
yeah. I completely blanked. Like, yeah, you have all these people that had different issues, you know what I mean? But through each other, through their community, they strive to be stronger, you know what I mean?
Except Judas. Because that's what happens when you turn away.
That is what turned, yeah. But the difference, like, Peter turned away too.
Exactly.
But the difference is Peter
what
turned back.
Did after.
Is and Judas let the guilt, you know,
consume him. Because, what's that? Didn't you send me something like, it was like, God has shame or Satan has guilt or something like that?
That was what Aislinn said.
Oh, that's what Aislinn said? Yeah. What did she say?
I think it was, I forget what it was. I think it's guilt is from God and Satan, or shame is from Satan.
Yeah.
It might be the other way around. I'm not sure.
So vice versa. I don't know. But whatever, maybe you guys should check out that episode. Find it yourself. Let us know in the comments. But regardless, just like with Peter and Judas, right? Both had sort of denied Jesus, right? Peter denied him 3 times, and then Judas turned Jesus in to be crucified. And if you can compare that to yourself, like, we all sin, right? But we can turn back to God. We can turn back to Jesus and let him fill our lives with love and stuff like that. Because Judas, you know, he ends up actually hanging himself. But Peter is the one who Jesus builds his church on, right? And I feel like that's something to look at. And you can always come back no matter what you've done.
For sure. So this verse here, it's 17 there if you want to read it. I think it's really
Colossians.
Good. Colossians, yeah.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
So the other thing, so like when you read that verse, it says whatever you do, whether word or deed, whatever it may be. CJ Stroud, great example of this. You know what I mean? We've talked about him before. You know, the first thing in every press conference, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for everything that he's done for me. He always gives glory. Everything he does, it's all in the lens of that. He doesn't look at it in the lens of what I did. No, that God put me in this position. God put me in this position to be in this room right now.
Yeah. At the end of the game, he even prayed with some of the Colts guys right in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary on it.
Yeah, like, I watched it. Yeah.
But like, everything he said was, God put me in this before everything. Like, him and his father had a relationship where his father left because he got put in jail. And then it took him time in believing in God that everything will be okay.
Yeah.
And that helped him because he went to college with $10. And he saw all these other people with money going out shopping at the mall in the All-American game. And he knew that God would put him in a situation for him to succeed. And that he said something about pressure. I forget what it was. It was like,
pressure is a blessing or something like
that? Yeah, pressure is a blessing. And God wouldn't put me in a situation that I couldn't succeed.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he is like a model of who we should strive to be as student athletes.
Oh, for sure.
And another thing, just integrating faith into your life with sports and stuff like that is just thanking God for the abilities he's given you to play your sport and then to ask him for confidence to succeed in the sport you're playing right before a game or practice. Ask for a good practice or just do whatever.
He's the perfect balance of life and faith. You know?
Yeah. Oh, the Trinity. He's 100% God and he's 100% Jesus. You know what I mean? He came down to earth in the flesh, in the bodily form to live the
incarnation.
I think you got this.
My bad.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, Father, Son.
Well, Trinity's Father, Son.
Well, yeah, but say he's 100% man, 100% God. That's
incarnation. Yeah, you're right. But, you're good. But, point is, he came down in the bodily form. He lived the life. But while he was doing that, like Ben said, he lived the perfect life. He lived the model that he calls us to be. I was listening to this thing by Francis Chan last night called Living a Quiet Life. He was like, why don't we know what Jesus was doing when he was 23 years old? Why don't we know what Jesus was doing when he was 25 years old? We know he was a carpenter. And so in those years, he was probably doing things, but he wasn't putting it all out there. He wasn't being this super, I'm perfect and whatever. He was living his life, but he was doing it in a way to lead others in love. And that's what Jesus is a reflection of. And that's what his life represented.
Because if he was like boastful and arrogant, no one would want to follow him.
No.
I actually want to go back to something Ashton said earlier when you talked about CJ Stroud and stuff like that. He talked about like pressure and stuff like that and how, you know, God doesn't put you in a situation he knows you can't handle, right?
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about like distractions with the worldly distractions and stuff and like sin. Like we kind of touched upon that. And Nick and I, we've kind of been having like our own like private conversations about like temptation and stuff like that and how we're overcoming that. And one thing that like Ashton said that made me think of that is, like, every temptation that you face, God knows that you can beat. And everything you face, he knows you can overcome it. And you just have to push those distractions aside.
And the, like, one of the verses that we were looking at talked about, there's always a way out. God always gives you an option. There's always an option. It's either you can go towards him or you can go away. You know what I mean? Like, that night that I had that conversation with you, I'm like, you gotta make a choice. There's times in your life that you have to make a choice. And the same thing with like temptation, that's a great topic. We'll probably do it in the future. Is you have to make choices. There's a moment in time in your thought process that you have to make a choice. And the same thing with our lives. It's like, am I gonna go to bed right now, or am I gonna go scroll on TikTok for 20 minutes, or am I gonna go read my Bible? You know what I mean? Is it it's making those choices. Okay, so Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I love that verse. Because our lives, like we said, it can be overwhelming at points, you know what I mean? But focus on getting through the day. Focus on involving God in the day at first, and the day you have now, before worrying about, oh, you know, 3 or 4 days from now, I got this test coming up or whatever. Just live in the moment and live for God. And like he said, but first, seek first his kingdom. You know what I mean? In all things we do, we should be seeking him. It's easier said than done, though. A lot of times in our lives. And so what we challenge everyone, and by having this conversation and what this conversation is about for everyone that's listening, is like, what can you guys do in your lives? I hope people have been sitting here thinking about, where am I at in my life with my prayer life, with my community, with all these things that we've talked about on previous episodes, and how am I starting to push that into my life more on a daily basis? Like in our small group today, he was talking, it's great that you're at where you're at, right? But there's more you can do. And look at where you're weakest. For me, it's in the mornings. I need to do better when I'm in the mornings, because I get up and I'm like, I don't even know where I am. You know what I mean?
We can fix that tomorrow morning.
Exactly.
It's going to be brutal then.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay. But it's looking at your life and analyzing, okay, where can I do a better job? Maybe this person isn't good for me. Maybe this person would be good for me. Maybe I need to be around them more. It's analyzing the same way Ashton did. You got to make that choice. You know, there's different things in our lives. There's opportunities to take. And I just think that's very important for everyone in their own personal life.
Also, feel free to text us if, like, you have any questions or, like, want to have, like, a conversation. That's something that's been on my mind.
Yeah. And aspire from others. Like, for me, I got basically, the dude that helped me get saved was from TikTok. You know what I mean? It was just a freak coincidence. And then, you know, I now listen to this dude, you know, a pastor that I really like named Francis Chan, like, all the time. And I learned from them. For the longest time, I couldn't read scripture without, you know, I couldn't do anything without listening to them first, or, you know, knowing what they thought or did or whatever, right? But now I'm not dependent on them as much. But for a while, I really was, you know what I mean? And it's okay to do that. It's okay to be dependent on something for a while, but eventually you got to branch off, you know what I mean? So that's why it's very important in your life to assess where you're at, be honest with yourself, and invite God into that process, because I think that's very valuable to us. And like Ashton said, for him, when he sees me praying, it's not in a judgmental way of like, oh, like he has better faith than me or whatever. It's inspiring. He's like, okay, it's a reminder for him to go home, read his Bible, get back to what he's doing best, you know? And through Ben's life, you know, the things he does, he's continuing it. It doesn't just, oh, I went on the Marius Life Retreat, was really happy for a week, and then it disappeared. No, it's still going on. You have meetings every Wednesday to plan, you know, Marius Life meetings, you know what I mean? And you have to sacrifice for that, obviously, yeah. I assume, so.
It's too early.
Yeah, I agree. Our small group is now at 7, so, yeah.
You always say that, 7.
I thought it was 7:10 or 7:15.
I thought it was 7:15, but it's 7. It's 7 now.
Starts at 7 every single time.
And yeah, apparently. But, yeah, I encourage, we've had a few people reach out to us on like TikTok or Instagram. Or even in person. And we're always open to the conversation. And again, it's okay to lean on someone for a while. And it's continuing that after and looking at your life. Did you have something?
Not really. I could just say, like, with that, the cool thing too is like when people reach out to us, like we also learn things. Oh, it's like not one-sided, you know? Like, we for sure both experience things.
It also makes our day.
Yeah, it does make our
day. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It really does. And the, I would say that's another component of balancing your life and your faith life. Like, we already talked about community, but in the same way, your community is not always going to be people that encourage you to God, and you can't always keep it that way. There's going to be those distractions and people that it's harder when you're around them. It's harder to pray. It's harder to think about God. It's harder to, you know, be the way that you are called to be. And it's those are tests. Those are tests of your faith. You know what I mean? I think, like, sorry to call you out, but you struggled with that for a while. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
But now look at where you are. You've done a better job. And look, from me, from the outside looking in, I can tell when Ashton's like, I can tell when Ashton's in a good place in his faith. He's happier. He's around the people that I know he strives to be around more. I can see it in him. I can see when he texts me all excited. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that is visible. You know what I mean? And so look at the reflection in your heart. Look at what your life is reflecting to others.
And to go off that, Nick will text me sometimes and be like, hey, just texting about your faith, like, mm-hmm. all these things. It's not to, like, push me in a bad, like, or it's, I don't take it negatively at all. Mm-hmm. It's him making sure I don't go off the path that I promised him.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. So I really do appreciate it.
Of course.
I think an important part of that, too, is, like, you know, when Ashton feels good about his face, it's important that he reaches out to others too.
Yes.
You know, that might not be doing so well or who haven't really experienced it at all. So it's kind of, I mean, that's what a church is. It's a community of people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just keep reaching out and building off one another. So.
And the, when I reach out to Ashton, when I text him, I'm like, hey, just checking on you. You know, like, the last time I did that was in a time that I didn't really know where Ashton was at, to be honest, because he had some hard stuff going on in his life. There's, and everyone can relate to this in high school. Everyone knows someone that's going through something. Check up on them. Like, it's so important in your faith life. We're called to love others. We're called to you know, be there for your neighbor. You know what I mean? It's one of the most important things. Be a reflection of God's love. And so for me in that moment, I want to know about his faith because I love him and because I want to know where he's at.
Another thing, pray for them too.
Yeah, for
sure. Reach out for them, but you could also pray for them. That's another place you can just fit in God, not only for yourself, but for other people.
The power of prayer is something like no other. And the other thing is that I don't think people realize is you'll never see the power of something until you do it enough. You know what I mean? Like, Ben's a great tennis player, like an amazing tennis player. But he would never see the full potential if he didn't work at it so hard. You know what I mean? And everyone's got, I don't want to say a max potential on something because you can always push it more. But, like, Ben, as he was growing up, didn't know that he would be where he's at now in tennis. You know what I mean? But he had the trust in it. He had to keep doing it. The same thing, and it had its high moments, but also had its low moments. You know what I mean? Where he could have turned away. But you won't know. Yeah.
I think your faith is also like a muscle. You know, you have to exercise it, ooh, and then it grows and it becomes stronger. You know, you gotta work it.
That's a great
analogy. And sometimes it just, like, you know, Nick, what's your favorite, like, I don't know, like, what do you like to do in the gym? What's that thing we were using one time at the gym where you, like, put your arms down and you work your core?
That's a core machine.
Okay, well, core machine. I don't know if there was a different name for
crunches. Yeah, like,
yeah. Yeah, basically, all right, so. Anyway, let's say you're doing, like, I don't know, you're doing crunches, right? And then, like, okay, I can't even talk about this now. I was going to go off of the muscle thing.
You keep going curls. The more curls you do, the more your bicep grows. It's just like faith. Yeah. Your faith grows the more you work it.
And just like, you know, maybe with your last rep or something like that, like, it feels tough, you know, your arm struggles to get it up. But then think about how it grows afterward, you know, like that. So, like, in a period of, I don't know. You might be tired or overwhelmed, but then it'll get stronger, you know?
Yeah, I know. I 100% agree with
you. Sorry, guys.
No, you're good. No, it makes sense, though. I get it.
I'm going off of what you just said and working something out and building muscle and all that.
Growing stronger.
So we all know, like, when you're in the gym, if you're in the gym for a year, the amount of weight that your muscle can endure at the when you very first start to a year from when you're of you consistently going is significantly different. It could be hundreds of pounds different. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're squatting.
Okay.
Not if you're curling.
So I had to say that.
But the what I'm trying to say is going along that, with that analogy, the longer you work at, the more you endure, the more you break it down, the more struggle you go through, the more you can handle, the more God prepares you for in your faith life. You know what I mean? Is you have to go through those hardships in your life. For your faith to grow stronger, to be able to endure more, for God to put you in harder situations. And I think that's a testament to a lot of people. Like, you can tell some of the people that have the strongest faith, they've gone through the most stuff. Like, again, Francis Chan, that dude has gone through so much. His mother died giving birth to him. His dad died, his stepmom died when he was 8, and then his dad died when he was 12. Like, that's just a ton of stuff. But he, when I listen to him and when I see him and all this stuff, I'm like, that dude truly knows God. You know what I mean? Like, he's such a clear reflection. In the same way, he endured so much. God put him through so much for this greater purpose. And that's the other thing about incorporating faith into our lives is giving it up to him. You know what I mean? Is accepting that it's going to be hard sometimes, but it's for a greater good. And I think that's very important. The same way, like, in our relationships and even in, like, extracurriculars, doing that hard practice, doing that hard practice for wrestling or for tennis or for baseball, where you're like, man, I really don't want to be here, and going through it, knowing it makes you better. The same way in our prayer, sometimes you'll go into it and you'll be like, man, I'm tired. All I want to do is go to bed, but you know what? I'm going to pray. And usually when I come out of those prayers, those are my best prayers, you know. And the consistency in it is very important, I think. And, yeah.
Going back to, like, the consistency, it's like when we were talking about distractions earlier, mm-hmm. it's like if you're not consistent, those distractions are going to be more and more, like they're going to be a taller mountain to climb, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, the more consistent you are, like Nick said, it's going to be easier to overcome stuff like that.
Just like with, you know, weightlifting, more consistent you are, more weight you can lift. You stop, then the amount of weight you can tackle goes down.
You can also set boundaries with social media. Like, you can allow yourself to, like, go on TikTok for, like, maybe an hour.
Yeah. I do that with certain.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, if you set those boundaries, it'll help you gain enough time for you to have that time with faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that I really like that because, like he said, you can limit the distractions. You can limit social media. You can limit, you know, going out. You can limit whatever. And you can increase, when you limit that, that means you can increase other things. You can increase hanging out with people that you know, or having a conversation with people that are going to lead you to God.
Another thing that, like, helps me think about this is, like, you know, we're trying to balance a life of God and also, like, our personal lives, right? Mm-hmm. With, like, each other and the world and stuff like that. And I kind of think about it as, like, think about you're walking on a tightrope, right? And you're really high up. On one side, you have, like, the worldly distractions, right? And that could be so many different things. And then on the other side, you have, like, the world of God, you know, mm-hmm. reading your Bible, praying every day, going to church, all that stuff, right? And right now, we're trying to be balanced. But if you have, like, too many things on one side, like, let's say I'm holding too many things that belong to the worldly side, if that's my right side, and I'm carrying those things with my right hand, then I'm going to tip that way, and I'm going to fall into that, you know, worldly grip.
Yeah.
But if I end up prioritizing, you know, God and stuff like that, then at the end of the day, you know, when I pass away and God is there to judge me, then I'm going to fall into the, like, the God side, you know, the religious side, because that's what we should be doing. You know, right now we're balancing it, and that's great, but eventually we're going to need to choose, and you're either going to choose one side, you know, with all the worldly stuff, all the distractions, or you're going to choose
God's side, and you got to make that decision sooner or later.
And the one thing I kind of like through this topic, I realized the significance of realizing that all the things that you do in your life, or most of the things that you do in your life, can be done in faith, that can be done with intent of, with God in mind.
Just like with Braden's point about the knots and stuff.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It should all be connected, and it should all be focused, you know. And obviously, if you start thinking that way of like, okay, is this a faith accepted? Like, is this good for me in the faith aspect? And that taking, like, I like to analyze my life a lot and look at where I'm at. I think it's just a good exercise for everyone to do. And the same way for me, it's like, okay, there's some, like, I like to listen to rap music sometimes. I can't lie. You know, you need to get hype in the morning or whatever for the gym.
Go pick you up at 6 a.m. and they'll be playing rap music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, full blast. But, like, is that always...
Great confession.
Is that the faithly thing to do? No. And, like, Noah made this good point. We're preparing for Kairos right now. He's like, maybe this week, you know, we stop listening and we listen to some more, like, worship music. And it's starting to transform our lives to be more faith-filled, you know, faith-motivated. That makes
sense. Bad place. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm a hypocrite sometimes, but...
we all got flaws.
Yeah. But it's... I kind of want to do... I think we should do this now. We kind of did this morning. But where in your life right now is really good with your faith? And where in your life do you think you should... What, we got it.
Go down here. Just yeah. Like with the small...
We'll do that one more time.
So sure. Where can...
just start, I'll just start it off.
Yeah. So right now, something I'm really good at is praying when I'm about to go to sleep or before sleep and journaling my thoughts. Something I fall short of is praying in the morning and thinking about them as, like, my first thoughts. Instead of that, I wake up exhausted at 7 o'clock, not waking up early, going to school, not thinking about them. And then it takes all day for me to, like, go about it. Something I took from Noah today is list three things that you're thankful from today.
Yeah, so just like Ashton, you know, I kind of pick up my prayer life at night. That's something I've been doing for a long time. But today, I realized that I should be doing that in the morning as well. And probably the first thing I do when I should wake up is give glory to God. And I think that if I do that, it can't start my day off bad.
Oh wait. Sorry. So for me right now, like, I do a good job at night and going to my quiet room and reading and truly praying to God and giving him time that way. Doing some of the social media stuff for, you know, our Instagram and TikTok, or for not, Kevin Hart runs Instagram. I run TikTok. But doing that, and I send time aside for that. That's been a good job. I've been doing a good job of that. But the thing that I've been struggling with is really in the mornings and really at all times of the day, like, something that I'm going to work on, again, it's something I realized through reading Proverbs, was asking for his help more and asking for his knowledge more in issues in my life. Like, I don't involve him enough, especially in the things I really care about. Like, if I need to start living more for him at all times in my life.
Just like everybody else, I do a good job praying at night, but what I want to work on is reading the Bible more, because when I have read it, it's affected me and it's powerful. So I want to start doing that more.
Yeah, so I think we're like one of the spots where my faith is strongest. It's probably like in a group setting, mm-hmm. You know, like here or like in a Marianas Life meeting or on a retreat. I think it's like, you know, really strong, really powerful. But something I think I need to work on is like by myself and at home, you know, like... I think, like, when I go to bed, it seems like you guys are pretty good with it. But, like, when I, you know, get ready to go to bed, I just, like, pass out, you know, in my bed. And I really got to, you know, I really just got to start praying more and reading the Bible before I go to bed every night and make it a routine.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing in your lives, you know, take that same analysis. You know what I mean? You know, we all got different issues. We also got similar issues. A lot of us struggle with.
We also have different strengths.
In different strengths. Everyone's in a different spot. But it's look at your life. Look at where can I improve? Where can I, in anything in life? Like, Braden, if he's trying to become a better wrestler, or Ben's trying to become a better tennis player, they're going to look, where am I weakest? And what am I going to do to get stronger there? And they're going to have coaches, they're going to have people around them that are holding them accountable to what they're working on.
Not only that, to get better, sometimes you need more than one practice a day. So we need to go out and we need to pray more than once.
Yes, I 100% agree.
All right, Kurt,
I like that a lot.
That was good.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, take the time in your life, identify where your strengths and weaknesses are, just like we did here. Find something to work on.
Write it down.
Very good. Journal. Talk to people. Talk to us.
I think one of the big points is that, like, God doesn't want us to stop, like, wrestling or golfing or playing baseball or I don't know what you do, though.
Lifting.
Curling. Yeah, God doesn't want us to stop doing that, you know, like, but he just wants us to incorporate him into what we do.
Oh, yeah, I 100% agree with that. And so the whole point of this episode was hopefully you took time while listening to this, just think, and maybe take some time after this and just pray about, like, Lord, where do I need to include you? Where am I weakest in including you? And just be honest with yourself, because sometimes it's not going to be the answer you like. You know what I mean? Like, I know the answer in my heart right now, and I don't like it. You know what I mean? It's not always easy. So be honest with yourself and find, truly, I encourage everyone to truly find, the passion of wanting to spend time with God, because then this will become easier. It won't become a chore going and praying at night. It'll be something you look forward to. Like, when I start praying, like, I literally start smiling, because it's like, I'm really sitting here talking to the Lord and Creator, the one that crafted me, the one that made the mountains, you know, the one that made the mountains, like, the specific deep, like, that's who I'm talking, that's who I'm praying to. Like, are you kidding me? That should not be possible.
And yet he listens to you.
And he listens to me. And it's just insane to me. And starting to view it in that way, it's not, oh, I have to go talk to God. No, you get to talk to God. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful gift to talk to the Creator of the universe. And think about it. If you truly love God, if you truly mean it, you are going to spend eternity with him. If you mean it in your heart, the desire, if you're going to spend eternity with someone, if you're going to spend eternity with him, you need to be comfortable with spending time with him. Like, it can't be something that, like, oh, I can only spend 5 minutes with him before I get bored. Well, your eternity is going to be hard then. Mm-hmm. So you need to start developing your relationship. And I want to preface, it takes a long time. It's taken me, 3 years or whatever now.
And some people, it might take their whole lives.
Exactly. Everyone's at different points, but strive for it, at least. Strive for it and pray to him about it, and it will come. I promise.
Best thing you can do is limit those distractions. Because when you stop focusing on those things, then you can put your focus to God.
For sure. All right. Ben, you want to do the clap?
Just clap?
Yeah.
All right.